श्रीमद्भागवतम् धन्वीनाम् अग्रणिर् एष तुल्यश्चार्जुनयोर्द्वयो हुताश इव दुर्धर्षः समुद्र इव दुस्तरः। श्रीमद्भागवतम् कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 12 एंटाइटल्ड बर्थ ऑफ एम्परर परीक्षित टेक्स्ट 21। हियर द सेजेस आर रिस्पोंडिंग, द ब्राह्मण्स रादर आर रिस्पोंडिंग टू द क्वेश्चंस ऑफ question of Yudhishthira Maharaj, whether the child who is to be born, he is going to be a worthy heir of the glorious dynasty of the Kurus. And while replying in the affirmative, the sages are giving many superlative comparisons to describe the glory of the upcoming son. Dhanvinam Agranir Esha. Dhanvi refers to archers. Agrani Resha, so he'll be the foremost among archers, similar to that who is the greatest archer. Tulyas Charjuna Yordvayaha, so he'll be equal to the two Arjunas. Now, usually when we use the word Arjuna, we refer to the Partha Arjuna, the friend of Krishna, who was a great hero, a great devotee and a champion archer. There is also another Arjuna who was known as Kartavir Arjuna, and he was also a great warrior. In fact, so great was a warrior that he could not be very easily defeated. It was only by the powerful arrangements of a far greater warrior than him, Parshuram, who is actually the Lord of the Supreme. He is mentioned that was the avatar of the Supreme, that he was defeated. So anyway, the important point is, it's compared to Arjuna and his Hutasha Iva Durdharshaha Hutasha. So Hutasha is fire, Durdharshaha, irresistible. When a fire starts blazing, quite often whatever comes in its way gets burnt. Nothing remains. And yet, his prowess will be like that. Nobody will be able to stand in front of him. He'll burn opponents like fire. Samudra iva dustaraha. And unpassable like the ocean. Now when Lord Ram had to go to Lanka, at that time he had... Ravana had a lot of confidence that Ram will never be able to cross the ocean, because crossing the ocean was such a difficult thing. It's unsurpassable, the ocean. So similarly, by comparing him here to the ocean, the point is made that, you know, when he is going to attack, the enemies will be burnt as fire burns. And when he is going to defend, he's going to defend like the ocean, where no one will be able to pass through him. And thus he will be truly a glorious warrior, as was Arjuna. Text 22. Mrugendra iva vikranto nishevyo himavan iva titikshur vasudevasau sahishnur pitarav iva. Mrugendra iva vikranto. Vikranta. Vikranta means one who is powerful, extremely powerful. So he'll be powerful like a Mrugendra. Mruga is animals. Indra is the king of the animals, that is the lion. So Mrugendra, so he will be as powerful as a lion. Nishevyo himavaniva. Himavan, one who has hima, snow, that is the mountain, specifically the Himalayan mountain. And this mountain is so large that many people go there to take shelter. And so he can offer shelter as can the Himalayan mountain, like the Himalayan mountain. Normally when people give up worldly shelters for the sake of spiritual growth, even at that time, they need to actually take shelter of something higher. And they go to take shelter of the Supreme Lord, but intermediately, while they are doing the sadhana to gain the shelter of the Lord, they have to have some shelter here in this world. And that shelter is the Himalayas. So it's a Himalayas compared to an object of shelter over here. Titikshur Vasudevasau. Titikshur Vasudevasau. So Vasudha refers to the earth. So he'll be as tolerant as the earth. Now, the earth is an object which beholds everything, including man's foulest activities. And not only does the earth behold it, but the earth also sustains those who do such activities. Now, people live on the earth and they do about their good and quite often their bad activities on the earth, and the earth gives grain, the earth gives food, the earth is the source of the various things that sustain life. And often people respond to nature, and whatever they respond, that falls on the earth. So actually speaking, the earth tolerates a lot. And in that sense, if somebody is a model of tolerance, here the earth is used as a model because it's quite an extraordinary model. Sahishnu pitara viva. So titiksha, and sahishnu are similar. Tam titiksha swabharata, when Krishna uses in the Bhagavad Gita, in 2.14, therefore Arjuna tolerate. So there it is used, titiksha is translated as tolerance. Here Srila Prabhupada translates as forbearing. Forbearing and tolerating are quite similar. Forbearance especially means patience and perseverance amidst difficulty. And tolerance has a similar connotation. So the point is that he will have, Parikshit will have many great virtues, and it is said the last comparison that is given is he will be tolerant like parents. Now again, children, especially when they are small, they do all sorts of things, and knowingly or unknowingly they make a mess of things, they are mischievous, they are quite often irresponsible, they don't even understand what is responsibility. And through it all, the parents love their child, take care of their child, and help the child to grow. So this is no easy task. And that's why Parikshit Maharaj has been compared here, that tolerance of parents is quite special. And he is compared to that model. Now the comparison goes on in text 23. Pitamaha samaha samye prasade girishopamaha ashraya samabhutanam yatha devo ramashraya. Pitamaha samaha samye. So, Samya means equanimity. That means one who faces reversals without getting upset by them. One who can stay fixed in the life's ups and downs. So now, Pitamaha, this word can have a dual reference. So if we use the word Pitamaha with the reference point of Parikshit, then his Pitamaha is Yudhishthir. So if we consider Yudhishthir as a reference point, then his Pitamaha is Bhishma. So quite often the Pandavas are kept the reference points in the narrative in the Mahabharata, and till now even in the Bhagavatam. And thus the word Pitama usually refers to to Bhishma, who is their grandfather, their grandsire. But And now the focus, the reference point of the Bhagavatam is slowly shifting from the Pandavas to Parikshit. Of course, Parikshit will come into the highlight of the Bhagavatam only four chapters later, in chapters 17, 18, 19 especially. But before that, there will be focus on the Pandavas' departure, Krishna's departure, and all that will be narrated. Even before that, the Dhritarashtra's renunciation at the goading of Vidura will be narrated also. But the point is, here we could have dual references, and based on that, Pitama can refer either to Yudhishthir or it can refer to Bhishma. So either way, it is said, Sam. Yeah. Normally, when we are young, we are excited. Oh, I'll achieve this, I'll achieve that. Oh, this has gone wrong, the world may come crashing down. Oh, this has gone right, now I'm on the top of the world. So like that, when you, in youth, there is a lot of passion, and with the passion, there are ups and downs. But as we grow older, as we come to the level of grandparents, then we have seen life, most of life we have seen. And we understand that, yes, there are important things in life, but there is nothing worth really getting too excited about. And if, and especially if one has not only matured physically, but has also evolved spiritually, then one has not only experienced the hollowness of material ups and downs, but one has also experienced the solidness of spiritual shelter, of connectedness with higher spiritual reality. And based on that connection, one can actually stay stable. One can avoid being tossed up and down by life's dualities. So, like the grandfather, he is Samya, is equipoised amidst dualities. Prasade Girishopamaha. Prasade. So, prasad, it often we use it in the sense of mercy. Prasad can also mean charity. One who gives in charity is also merciful. So he will give charity or munificence is generosity or charity. So charity is the activity, generosity is the spirit. So generosity is a disposition to give charity. So here, this prasade can refer to either. And Girishopasamha, samaha like Girisha. So Girisha refers to one who resides on the Giri, on the top of mountain. Lord Shiva resides on the top of Kailash mountain, so he is called as Girish. Now Lord Shiva is known to be very charitable. He, if he is pleased, he gives lavishly and he gives quickly also. Because he becomes pleased quickly. And often he doesn't even, if he's pleased with someone, he doesn't see their antecedents, he doesn't see their background. Just gives charity. So the point is, he has a tremendous spirit of giving. And similarly, here it is said that Parikshit also had a, would be charitable. Now for a king, to be wealthy is in one sense natural, because the king has the royal treasury. So, king being wealthy is a good thing, but it's somewhat natural. A king who is wealthy and charitable is special. The king is not hoarding the wealth, but the king sees the wealth as meant for service, and therefore, service of Brahmanical culture, service of the Brahmanas, and service through the Brahmanas of the rest of the society. So, when the king sees that, when the king is charitable also, then that is especially glorious. A king being wealthy is glorious from a material perspective, but a king being charitable is glorious not just from a material perspective, but quite likely from the spiritual perspective also, if his charity is connected with spiritual reality. Ashraya sarva bhutanam, is the shelter of all living beings. Like yatha devo ram ashrayah, just as Deva, Narayan, is the shelter of Rama. Rama is Lakshmi Devi. The king is meant to take care of all the citizens. And taking care is not just providing food, clothing, shelter, although that is extremely important. in terms of the basic necessities of life. But along with that, we have physical needs, we have emotional needs, we have spiritual needs, and all those needs need to be taken care of. So many people feel Rama, the goddess of fortune, and the blessing that she produces, she bestows in terms of money, they are what is worth taking shelter of. But that goddess whose shelter people see, whose favor people see, she seeks the shelter and favor of the Supreme Lord. Her Narayan is Rama Ashrayaha. And therefore, now she is an extremely powerful person. And so when she is taking shelter of Vishnu, Narayan, then that means that the indicator that everyone else should also take shelter of him. And as it is mentioned here, that whether we take shelter of him or not, still he always shelters us. He provides us life, he provides us functioning capacity, he provides us intelligence to achieve all the things he has provided to us, whatever we have. And we may not realize it initially, but as we practice bhakti and tune our consciousness, we start realizing this more and more, how lavishly Krishna has provided his gifts to us. Text 24. Sarvasu sadgun mahatmye esha krishnam anuvrataha rantidev ivo daro yatir iva dharmikaha. Sarva sadgun mahatmye. So sadgun means good qualities. We'll have all good qualities. Esha Krishnam Anuvrataha. Anuvrataha, following in his footsteps. This is high praise indeed for a child to be compared to Krishna and to be told that he is almost like Krishna. There can be few praises higher than this. Esha Krishnam Anuvrataha. So actually we cannot be God, but we can be godly. And in being godly is the perfection of our life. Because in godliness, we relish in the... Actually godliness is not just how we conduct ourselves with others, but how we connect with God. So those who are godly, those who are connected with God, they manifest the great qualities of God also. So here Parikshit, it is said, is he is manifesting godliness and he is manifesting all virtuous qualities because of his connection with God. Rantidev ivo daro. Another example of given charity is given of Rantidev. Now the story of Rantidev will come later in the Bhagavatam. Specifically the 9th canto where it is stated that he was, after fasting for a long time, when different people came to him asking for charity, he was ready to give them charity and give up his own food for their sake. So thus he actually demonstrates that the Brahmanas demonstrate that how this child is truly extraordinary in terms of his qualities. For they say yayati riva dharmikaha. Yayati is considered extremely dharmic. Now we may hear of yayati in terms of how he was attached to a woman or whatever, but that is not the point. Even when he was, as soon as he realized his error, he actually changed his ways, and eventually the Mahabharata explains how Yayati was elevated to heaven. Yayati should not be, just because he went through a phase of attachment and delusion because of that, that should not be held against him, but the fact that he himself realized the error of his ways and he became detached and eventually he became elevated, all this indicates his greatness. So being dharmika does not necessarily mean always being flawless. It also means being focused in our goal, and even if we can't be consistent, we can be resilient. Even if we can't stay fixed on the same path all the time, we can always spring back onto the path as soon as possible. And thus, we can do our part in helping us in moving towards the right destination. Text 26. Rajarshinam janayita shasta chotpathagaminam nigrahita kaler esha bhuo dharmasya karanat rajarshinam janayitva. Janayita. So now the question comes up. Every king is known not just by how they live during their period, but it's also a king is expected to continue a legacy. So what kind of legacy do they continue? So that will depend on the kind of sons they get. He mentioned that he will beget Rajarishis. He will be a glorious king himself and he will beget glorious kings in future. Shasta chotpathagaminam shasta. Shasan is discipline. Shasta means one who disciplines. Prabhupada translates chastises. So chotpathagamina utpathagamina. Utpath means disturbance. Gamina means those who create. So those who So he will chastise the disturbance creators. Nigrahita kaleresha. So those who are the nigrahita, those who are offensive, those who molest, those who are the quarrelsome. So what will he do? Bhuo dharmasya karanat. He will be the protector of dharma and thus he will chastise all people. So now, the previous verses talked about his virtues by comparing him with various great kings. Now, this text talks about his virtues in terms of the qualities. So, it stated that the qualities that he has will be extraordinary and those qualities will manifest in activities. So he will maintain dharma, he will chastise adharma, he will curb adharma by chastising the adharmic, and he will create a legacy where dharma will be continued. In one sense, the king is a representative of God. So the king is often called a Naradev. Naradev. So just as Krishna says that he comes to establish dharma and to destroy dharma, similarly the king also has to do that on behalf of the Supreme Lord. And here, the Brahmins are reassuring Yudhishthira Maharaj that this son who is going to come in the dynasty, he is surely capable of doing all this. Text 27 now. Takshakad atmano mrityum vijaputropas sarjitat prapatsyat upashrutya mukta sangha padam harehe. Now, after describing his activities and extolling him with various extolling him through various comparisons, now they seem to talk of quite a sobering thing. Now, most astrologers, when somebody is going to be born, they don't talk about the death of the person. But here, these Brahmins who are foreseeing, they have astrological capacities, and they say takshakad atmano mrityur takshaka. Takshaka is a snake bird. So now, within the Puranic cosmology, there are different beings existing at different levels and there was interconnectedness between these various levels of the cosmos, which has changed to disconnectedness because of the infected state of the present age of Kali. But the point is that Yudhishthira, he had seen various kinds of beings from various places, and he knew Takshaka. Takshaka was a formidable snake bird, and it's mentioned Takshaka Atmano Mrityum. By Takshaka, the Mrityu, the death will happen. Dvija Putropasar Sarjitat Dvija Putra. That is the son of a Brahmana, Upasarjitat. So that Takshaka, it may want to Takshaka is a snake bird, he lives in a different place. So why would he come and try to kill Parikshit? So it is Dvija Putra Upasarjitat. That means it will be sent, he will be sent by a Brahmin's son. And how will he be sent by Brahmin's son? That story will be told in the later half of this, in the last chapters of this canto. But here they say that this might seem tragic. Oh, this, he will die. And he will die by a snake bite. You know, dying by a snake bite is nothing glorious. If at all somebody is going to die, then if he say that hey, they will die a hero's death on a war field, yes, there is some glory to that. But to die in a war field may not seem at all glorious. But then they are immediately clarifying, so to die by a snake bite is not at all glorious. But they are saying, no, it will be glorious. Why? Prapatsyat upashruta. So prapatsyat, he will take prapanna, we say surrender. So the same root is there over here also. So upashruta, after hearing, he will surrender to the Supreme. To the all-powerful absolute, he will surrender. Mukta sangha padam harehe, mukta sangha. By hearing, he will become free from all attachment, and padam harehe, he will attain the abode of Lord Hari. That's what this verse states primarily, is that Parikshit will have a glorious death. His, in his birth, or even before his birth, he had darshan of Vishnu. And in his death also, he will have darshan of Vishnu, because he will be hearing the katha of Vishnu. And in that hearing that katha itself, the katha of Vishnu is non-different from Vishnu. Thus, he will have darshan of Vishnu in the absorption in the katha of Vishnu. And thus, his life will be complete cycle of great glory, beginning with the Supreme and ending with the Supreme. They further elaborate what is going to happen, how he will become Mukta Sangha. So they say that, text 28, Jigyasitatma Yatharthyo Munervyasa Sutadasau Hitvedam Nrupagangayam Yasyatya Adhakuto Bhayam. Jigyasitatma Yatharthyo Atma Yathar. Atma Yatharto means Yathartha, as is the right understanding, as the right position. Atma, he will inquire about the knowledge of the self. Munir Vyasa Sutta Adaso, he will ask this from the Muni, who is the Vyasa Sutta. So, Vyasa Sutta means Shukadeva Goswami will describe to him Hitvedam Nrupagangayam Hitvedam. All this world, or this attachment to this world, he will give up. Gangayam, on the banks of the Ganges. Yasyatya, and he will go Adha Akuta Bhayam. We will Akuta Bhayam, without any fear. Without any fear, he will live. So, now if it is said that a Brahmana is going to send a snake bird, now, there are few things which are as feared in spiritual culture, the Vedic culture, as the curse of a Brahmana. And yet, so, and that too, if a Brahmana is sending a snake bird, that seems quite gruesome, fearsome and gruesome. But it is, he is saying that he will lively, akuto bhayam, Parikshit will live a life of fearlessness, because he will be inquiring about the real self, understanding the self as the part of the Supreme, and he will learn this knowledge after having, on the banks of the Ganga, after having renounced all material attachments. So in this way, he will be situated in his spiritual glory. And that's hearing from Vyasadeva's son, Sukadeva Goswami, will help him to become situated in the spiritual glory. And thus, this is going to be a glorious, glorious departure from this world. Text 29. So we'll continue about what happens next in our future talks. Thank you.